of temptation and used it in their life and could definitely head them in a godly manner that would be prosperous and be finding God's will. May we pay close attention this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We'll make some things very clear this morning. Last week, we're still in our series, My Jesus. Last week, we talked about Jesus being identified by baptism. And if you've been saved, you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. And if you've been baptized by water, you have been identified to a church and to Jesus Christ. This morning, everybody that's saved, look up here at me. This account of Jesus is not just about him being tempted. It's not. These are some principles that we all need in our life to make the right decisions and put the right things in our life and to put the right priorities in our life. And you, if you looked up here and you heard me, this message should give you need, or heed. You should give me heed to listen to this for just a few minutes. Because I've studied this all week long and I see so much here, I'm not even going to be able to give you a third or a quarter of what I've seen in this account this morning. But I want to give you the broad strokes of it this morning. Now, if you've got a bulletin, you're going to find some help here. But if you've been baptized, I'm going to guarantee you that there's a bullseye on your back and the devil is aiming to derail your Christian life. I don't think y'all heard me. If you've been saved, blood-bought, and baptized by the Holy Spirit and identified to Jesus Christ, the devil is going to try to get you. He is a lion that creepeth around, seeking whom he may devour. Do you believe the Bible? How many has been devoured? I'll raise my hand. At age 12 or 13, he got a hold of me and pulled me deeper into sin and deeper into sin and deeper into sin, where I couldn't see Jesus Christ in my life. Hey, you say you can't take that away, but I'm here to tell you, you can get so far away from the Lord that people have a hard time seeing the Lord in you. That bullseye, folks, there's no exclusions to this. Because the devil would... Let me give you kind of my end before I give you the beginning. What's the result of somebody living a godly life? And don't give me the faithfulness and all that stuff. I want to talk about the result. I'm talking about a result to where you are living by the Word of God. You are finding, not just seeking, but finding the will of God, and you are worshiping God in the best way that you can. Now, none of us are perfect, okay? So don't get the idea that I'm talking about perfection. But you're reading the Word of God, and God is speaking to you, and you're witnessing. Maybe you're not a witnesser, but maybe you're the person that calls somebody or sees somebody and helps them to where they get to the point to where they'll be more receptive to hear the Word of God. Do you know that's just as big a witness as the person that takes a track and witnesses to somebody cold on the street? People that went to Belize, you all didn't witness to somebody, did you? But there were 14 souls that got saved. You had a part in that. You had a part. This church has seen three people saved in revival meetings. Did you witness to them? You had a part in it. But how big a part did you have? He said, no, wait a minute. You said I had a part in it. You said, were you the one that were praying for the soul so earnestly that God heard? And we'll never know the answer to that. But I'm here to tell you, if we got everybody in this room today that was saved, born again, praying more earnestly and seeking God's word to speak to them and worshiping, we'd have a different outcome here at Bradley's Pleasure Baptist Church. and in the preacher too. Can I get amen on that one? I mean, that's how foundational I see these verses, because we're all going to make decisions. There's no exclusions. All going to make decisions. Now, for fear of being overboard, if you're under the age of 20, raise your hand. Under the age of 20. Now, you listen to me. You listen to Strawberry real quick. You've got an opportunity to make some decisions that will derail troubles in your life. Adults, y'all missed a great opportunity to say amen to that one. Because I'm going to get y'all here in just a few minutes, okay? I done got myself. I'm in this message here. Now look, just looking at what Jesus done. Now we're not going to talk about this too long. Your first principle on your bulletin. Jesus Christ uses the sword of the Spirit. And we find that wording in Ephesians 6:17. That's the word of God. You can tell if somebody's life is put together by how broken apart their Bible is. You heard that? You got a Bible that you only got one Bible and it looks like it just come out of the box. Your life's probably broken up. Some of you people should be amen in this. I'm here to tell you. But now here's the deal. I'll go right straight through the facts. The devil is who? Y'all ain't going to believe this, but your pastor, when he was a senior in high school, did a term paper on who? Satan. I learned a lot about the devil. You thought that would have scared me straight. You know, I don't know how big it is, but a statue of Lucifer was just brought into a big church out in California. Satan worship, folks, let me tell you, is real. Amen. And they are getting more bold, more brazen every day. I'm talking, they believe in, I wouldn't even call it sacrifice, they believe in killing things. And you know what they start off with? They start off with animals. But you know there's been some reports that they could be, that's where some kids could be missing. You know the devil is a liar. You know the devil is a deceiver. And the devil's in church. He's the enemy. He's the accuser. He's the slanderer. I've got it all written down there, but I did a whole term paper on the devil. And y'all want to know what the funniest part about it is? I went to Lancaster Baptist Church and had the youth minister's wife type up the term paper for the devil right there in the pastor's office. I always thought that's pretty funny. Y'all don't think that's too funny. But I'm here to tell you the devil is real. And if you don't think he's real and you don't get close to the Lord, I can tell you who's going to win the battle in your life. The devil's going to win the battle in your life. And I don't care. Don't look at no one else in the building but yourself. Because there may be one soul out there that depends on you getting close to God and being a part of their salvation. And if you don't do it, that soul could go to hell. And you won't even know it. Why? Because the devil's got you over here and God doesn't have you in his will. He doesn't have you doing what he wants you to do. And you miss the opportunity that you didn't even know was there. You say, how do you know that, Rick? Well, I know that because of my life. I know that because of my life. I started getting close to the Lord just because I felt I wasn't doing right. But I got the opportunity to start witnessing to people at Vacation Bible School. And I've told y'all before, I was never the kind of person that liked to get up in front of people. I can't prove that today, but that was true. I was the class clown. I was the jokester. I was never the public speaker. I was never that person. But when I led my first person to the Lord, it became so real. And I wanted to do it more. But most of us never get that opportunity because we never get to that point. And it's still hard. Christian life, folks, is hard. We got demonic forces working against us. I mean, you talk about demonic forces, and I pick on the folks that went to Belize. Think about how you felt that night when you got off that bus and that morning when you gave that testimony. Do you still feel that way today? You got it in here, but does it still flow out to you the way you treat everybody? It's hard. We got to seek God every day. How do we do that? Well, I got 6 words. If you don't write them down, you can. Will, the Word, the will, and the worship of God. Got 3 more words for you, and you're going to like these. Money, management, and mission. You said, boy, I'm liking this, Rick. It's about money. You know, young people, all you that raised your hand that were 20 and below, and even you that are close, if you follow God's plan for money, you can have a wealth of money by the time you get 40, 50 years old, even if you have a very low-paying job. I wished I had followed that plan and pattern. I didn't. See, I told you there's so much in here, I can't give it to you. But what was the first thing that happens to Jesus? It says that the devil came. Now look at us here. We won't be in this too long. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And Jesus says, no, I live by the Word of God. Secondly, he says, jump off of this temple. God will take care of you. Jesus says, no, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then he takes him up to a high hill and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, if you want these things, you just fall down and worship me, and I'll give it all to you. Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And you say, well, that doesn't apply to me. I tend to differ. Because every time that Jesus was faced with these temptations, he responded with the Word of God. And I'm going to ask you a question. I know I don't, but I try to. In your life, when you have issues, do you have foundational knowledge of the Bible enough to where you can place a principle of the Scriptures to help answer your problem, your issue, your question? You say, Rick, I don't want to be a theologian. Now, if you read the Bible every day, you can learn enough Bible to where you can have knowledge to where you can respond. Anybody in there struggle with anger? The Bible in Book of Proverbs says a soft answer. Listen to me. I'm not going to do this whole bunch today. A soft answer turneth away wrath. I just solved your anger problems. And people laugh and they say, well, no, it doesn't. No, when you get in the heat of the moment, if you'll just learn to have a soft answer, the Bible gives you the promise that it will turn away wrath. You believe the Bible, don't you? Yeah. And it's all throughout the Scriptures. Different things that we can use in our lives. I'm here to tell you, it's here. Now, you got to hunt for it. That's the hard part. You got to study it. You got to go through it. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12 or 4:12, go there and look at this real quick. 4:12. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, now the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Everybody wants to know where their heart is. I can tell you where your heart is. And you want me to tell you something that today that would be very convicting as these ladies go to prepare food? You know where a lot of people's heart is today? Fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and corn. And they're working. They're serving. But I'm just here to tell you, a lot of us are got that on our mind, and that's okay. But I'm here to tell you, if you make your life up without using the Word of God, you're going to miss it. Because Jesus responded to every one of the temptations with the Word of God. Let's look at the next point here. And then I give you three parts here. If I was to ask every person, I sat down with every person, and I said, if I could show you a biblical principle in the Scriptures that would help you make a decision, and it would be answered the same way that Jesus' answer would be, would you tell me, yes, I would do that? How many say that they would do that? The rest of y'all are going to fail. Indictment. Let's try that question again. If I could tell you that there was a biblical principle for every answer that you had in your life, would you use it? And would you answer and respond the same way that Jesus would? How many of y'all would do that this morning? I think I need to ask another question here this morning. How many of y'all don't think the Bible's worth reading and studying and using in your life? For you that did not raise your hand because you're afraid of what indictment that's going to bring to you from me, and you should never worry about that because I have no way of keeping track of who votes for anything. I'm worried about you. So, Rick, I just wasn't going to vote either way. See, a lot of people say, yes, I would respond. I'd try to respond the same way that Jesus responded, but you know how they'll respond? Not the way that Jesus would respond. Because we have the pull of the devil. We have the pull of a lot of different things in our life. We have a pull of things of our flesh and stuff. You know, we have the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. And the Scriptures tells us of that. Let me ask you a question. Is everything that you do filtered through the Word of God? You say, Rick, do I have to use the Bible for everything? I'm giving you a successful plan right here today, folks. If you're making a decision without the Word of God, you're making it without the proper help and information. Now, the second principle says what you feed on is what you will grow on. Now, here's one for moms and dads. Moms and dads in the house, grandparents as well. Now, you that are under 20, y'all listen to me too, but this is for them. If your main concern for those children and grandkids that you have are their physical needs, their personal care, and the wealth or possessions that they obtain, forget about it. That's the devil's way of doing it. So, well, I want my kid to be successful. Do you want to find the will of God? Well, I don't want my kid to get hurt. Would you rather him be a missionary and go to Africa and win 1,000 souls to the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you? Well, I don't want my boy to get hurt. I don't want my little girl to do something that... No, that's not the way it is. God sent his son here to die on the cross. What should we expect in return? What you feed on is what you will live on. If you're feeding upon the Word of God, you'll live upon the Word of God. Will you make some mistakes all along the way? Yes, you will. But I'm here to tell you, folks, the devil wins when we do not follow the precepts found in the Word of God. You say, well, I don't know the Bible that good. Well, if you showed up on Wednesday night, and if you read your Bible every day, and you prayed and you asked for wisdom, as the book of James says, you would learn more about the Bible. And most of us know we should, but we won't. So, well, I got a Bible, but I just don't do like I did. I didn't know nothing about it. And I just got the Bible that Brother Jerry told me to get. I started reading it. And he told me, he said, now, Brother Ricky, you just stay faithful to reading it every day, and the Lord will teach you. I read on it for a year, and I'm like, I ain't learning too much about this thing. But you know, the more I listened to him preaching, the more I read, and the more I asked, and the more I read, and the more I listened to him preaching, the more I learned. And that's the way it works. It comes through hard work. And I got my big old red Bible at home that I can't hardly open because it about falls apart. And I say, that's part of what God gave me. I'm working on another one right here. I don't even study in this one because I don't want it to tear apart. It's the one that you all give me when I got ordained. I don't want to tear it apart, but I will preach out of it. But what you feed on, folks, is what you'll live on. See, God's got a plan for money. God wants to manage your life. And God's got a mission for your life. Remember them three words I give you? Money, management, and mission. He's got a plan for your money. You say, hey, he just wants me to put it in an offering plate. No, he wants you to, when you get age 40, 50, 55, to be debt-free and be able to live free to give to God's work as abundantly as ever. Psalms 1:2 says, and his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. But, next verse says, but he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you want to prosper in godly things? See, these scriptures right here can tell you. See, Jesus come to that first and he says, man shall not live by bread alone. Yeah, we got to have some bread. We're going to eat some bread here in a little bit. But it says here, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. 1 Peter 2:3 tells us, and we've been going over it with the kids, kind of the growth process, desiring the sincere milk of the word. Do you desire it? Little Micah had his first birthday yesterday, and he's starting to eat regular food. And they give him a little piece of hamburger, and he's thinking he'd like that. I can't wait to see what he does when he put a little ketchup or something on it. It's going to be even better. See, he could still be drinking on the milk, but Mama has progressed him because he's what? He's growing. There are too many malnutrition Christians sitting in the pew coming each week to get their worship service in, and they're not growing because they're not feeding upon the Word of God. Next principle, decisions you make will break you. Okay, kids, we're going back to you. I got to tell you this because I got it written down. College or tech school, marriage, and children. Now, I know that today's wisdom tells us to go and take our kids, and if we can, take them to college. But that's not God's will for everybody. It is not the will for every kid to go to college. Because would God, let me ask you this, if you got a sweet child, and yeah, they would get smarter if they went to college, but God's got a purpose for them that doesn't require this college education. And you put, college is high, by the way. Can I get an amen there? And you take and you put $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 into it. And then God says, well, you know, I really want them to do this. And you say, well, I could have bypassed that, couldn't I? See, I thank the Lord for my oldest son. He went to 2 years of community school, and he was going to be a welder. A welder, he even knew exactly he was going to be a welding inspector. There were only two or three of them in the state at that time. He was going to do the school. And I'll say this honestly, my oldest son is a very intelligent young man, and he would probably have been able to do it, and he made good grades. When he got into the second year of welding school, he felt like the Lord wanted him to be a firefighter. Full-time firefighter. And he took Mom and Dad through 2 years of school. But you know what? He took us through tech school. And he also got his grant money through school because he made good grades and all that kind of stuff. That was a blessing. Now, my second child, took him a few classes. Y'all heard the hum. We took a few college classes before we knew what we wanted to do. And it took us a while to pay for them. But we paid for them, and now he's a Marine, and I'm proud of his service in the Marines. I'm thankful for what he's doing. I wish he was closer to the Lord, but I'm proud that he's a Marine. But it's not always, folks, God's will for you to go all the way through college. God wants you to do it his way. Let him manage your life. Hey, if your kid doesn't know what God's will is, don't just send them to college. It might be better to send them to the farm and let them work all summer by the sweat of their brow. Marriage is pretty simple. Girls, boys, y'all listen to me, and I know that I get in trouble here sometimes because people tell me that they didn't marry somebody that was saved, but I'm here to tell you that in the Bible, the principle is do not marry an unbeliever. Because it don't turn out well all the time. You say, well, Rick, did you do that? We were both saved, but we had no idea when we walked down that aisle whether we was or not, because we didn't talk about spiritual things. So praise the Lord, you're in a church service where the preacher is telling you, based on what the Bible tells you, that you should know that that other person has asked Jesus Christ to save them, and you know what? You have a promise from the Word of God that he will help you more in that marriage. Now, it has worked. I mean, Brother Bill, Miss Judy will tell you, Brother Bill wasn't saved, right? And I've talked to other people. It can work, but the Bible don't go that way. So I'm here to tell you, you were dating somebody and you say, well, I'll change them. Well, they might not change. They might not get saved. And I'm here to tell you, folks, I'm being honest as I can. I've seen come to the top of my head at least five couples that have, I'm going to say, great trouble in their marriages because of different faiths. One believes this, one believes that. Some are lost, some are saved. And it causes trouble in their parents. Let me ask you a question. If you've seen a boy and a girl, and one of them's lost, one of them's saved, and we won't say which one, and they get married and they have a little child, okay, you got a sweet little baby. Okay, y'all got the picture here. You got a sweet little baby. And the one that's lost doesn't like the church that the one that's saved goes to. So the one that's saved tries to finagle and find a church, and they just don't find a church, and they just end up not going to church. So here we got a little kid that's turned 4, 5, or 6. And then something happens, and the one that's lost just turns totally against the church. And I can tell you this, folks, because this is playing out right here in our community, okay? And that child does not get to go to church because they don't like church people, they don't like church, they don't like this, they don't like that. So that kid right there has already got a wall against ever hearing the gospel, because that saved person went against the Bible and married somebody that was lost. And we got a sweet little baby that turns 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, unless God intervenes in some other way. They won't get raised like a Christian. They won't get to hear the gospel. And they may never get saved. And they'll spend an eternity in hell because one person would try to think they could go against the principles of the scriptures. The decisions you make are the decisions that will make you or break you. Y'all remember the rich young ruler, right? He come up to Jesus. He said, good master, how may I inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you know, follow the Ten Commandments. And he named them all, and he said, I've kept these from my youth. Jesus told him to what? Sell all that you have, give to the poor, and thou shalt have riches in heaven. Y'all heard that story, right? That man loved his riches so much that he wouldn't do what God asked him to do. And you know what happened? He walked down the street sad because he had all these riches, but he didn't have God. How many people in this room today have got riches that they won't turn loose of and let God have his will and way with? Let's say you're making $100,000 a year and you're wasting what you could give to the Lord's work. It's never making it to the plate. And I'm not talking about getting it in there. I'm talking about just any way giving to God in any form, shape, form, or fashion. What does that do for the work of God? Maybe it takes all your time. Maybe it takes all your effort. Maybe you can't read your Bible because you're so busy doing your work. Maybe you're so busy because you're doing your hobby. Maybe you're so busy and you think, you know, I heard that preacher, I believe I should, but I just, you know, I've been putting it off and putting it off. You know, when something big and dark happens in your life, you'll wish you had it. That'll be that moment of reality when you say, but you know what? It may be too late at that point. You've already fed yourself on the world, TV. You young people's got them little video games and stuff, and you're looking at stuff on the internet you ain't supposed to be doing. You listen to me, you feed yourself with it, and you could be one of them people that flies off the handle. I think it was Ted Bundy said he just started off looking at just little pictures. He got so infatuated with looking at pornography that it just drove him mad, and he murdered like 60 or 70 women. Brutally nasty. He made a profession of faith. I believe he's in heaven. You talk about regret. The interview that I heard, the regret, you could hear it on his voice. He said, I wish I'd had somebody to tell me about Jesus Christ earlier. My last point. What we make our priority is what we are worshiping. Back over in Matthew chapter 4. The devil took Jesus and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of it in verse 8. And in verse 9 he said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. Now the title of my message this morning is God's Will in Your Temptations. And that can be said to me too. And I started off by stating this fact. I believe that these scriptures can be a key component to helping you make decisions in the light of the temptations that you're going to be tempted with. Because think about it. What else are you going to be tempted with? What you take in, right? And when Jesus said, or Satan said, go ahead and jump off that temple, them angels, they'll watch you. You take your life and you step out and do what you want to. You think God's going to keep you from falling and hitting the ground? I had, if y'all should have seen my notes, it scared you to death. I'd still be preaching this time, 6 o'clock tonight. But I'm here to tell you, what you put as a priority in your life is what you'll worship. And if you want to get the devil out of your life, you tell him what the Lord said here in verse number 10, get thee hence, Satan. You say, I don't have the power to do that. This right here does. This right here does. You ain't going to do it on your own, but Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Simple questions this morning as we close. James chapter 4 tells us to draw nigh to God, and the devil will flee from us. The Christian life, folks, is hard work. the decisions that you have to make in your life, you're going to have to seek the Word of God and study the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God. And you're going to have to seek God's will for what the answer is. But are you willing to do the work to know what God's will is for you in the temptations? Are you willing to stand? Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your Word. I thank you, Lord, for all the many things you showed me this morning. Lord, I pray this morning for each and every person here. I know it sounds like a broken record, but each time that I get touched by the Word of God like this, I think of those people that are going contrary to the Word of God. They're going with the world and they're not seeking God's will. And I think of the souls that could be lost, the people that will never come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because we make the wrong decisions. And then when we come to church, we're not completely able to praise Him and worship Him as we should. God, I pray for this invitation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.